Our first scripture reading is from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and sadness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. Gospel reading is from Matthew 6. Beware of practicing piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in synagogues and streets, so they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so they can be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Gracious God, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts gathered here tonight as we feast upon your word and respond with grateful hearts for joyful obedience through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was preparing for preaching tonight, a friend of mine called to talk, and she asked me what I was doing. Now, my friend practices her faith outside of the traditional church. So when I said I was preparing my message for Ash Wednesday, I said, "Do you know what that is?" And she said, "Oh, yeah." I know what that is. She said, that's the day in the church when after I've been partying at Mardi Gras for 3 days, the church tells me what an awful, horrible, dirty person I am and puts a big black mark on my forehead to show the world. Really? Really? And that's my friend's understanding of Ash Wednesday. And I became aware that this is a day in the Christian church which might be hard for people who don't come to church regularly or come to a traditional church that acknowledges Ash Wednesday and celebrates the whole Lenten season. It might be difficult for them to understand. In fact, it might even make them feel set apart from the church. But what I wanted to say was, no, it's not about marking the fact that we're sinners completely or only. It's about marking the fact that we remember that we are human. And that, well, yeah, our sin is part of our humanity, and that our humanity is part of what keeps us humble, remembering that we are not God, but that the mark on our forehead, the black mark, is not all of who we are. It's part of who we are, but that we believe that with God's grace and forgiveness, we can dare to be fully who we are and also become the people God wants us to be. So Ash Wednesday is the day that marks the beginning of our journey toward the passion of Jesus Christ through the crucifixion, to the resurrection and the celebration of eternal life. Ash Wednesday is marked on my calendar at home, and it's marked literally with a smudge of ashes on our foreheads to remind us of our humble beginnings and our inevitable end of human life. And these ashes that we use tonight are prominent in the Bible. In the Old Testament, in times of grief and repentance for sin, individuals and even whole communities would cover themselves in dust and ashes, roll around in them as a sign of mourning and an awareness of their personal sin. So what we're doing tonight unites us historically with our brothers and sisters like Job and David and Tamar. So tonight, the journey to the cross begins by making a mark, of a visible mark on our foreheads to remind us of our humanity and mortality. And so we repeat the words that God said in the creation story to Adam in the 3rd chapter of Genesis, verse 19. It says, "You are dust, and to dust you will return." So these words, along with putting dust and ash on our face, is not just to remind us that we're sinful and that we are human, therefore not God, but also to remember that we are created. So, and as my friend also noted, Ash Wednesday is the end of the Mardi Gras season. Right? The time of partying and excess and outward pretense. And we saw some of that here last night. People had beads on and hats and some colorful, not complete costumes, but some sort of festive garb on. But Mardi Gras is often symbolized with costumes and masks. and a big time of reckless living before we start a time of looking closely at ourselves, confessing who we really are, and receiving forgiveness. And the costumes and masks are a sort of front, really visible, that we show to the world. Rather than the true self we know ourselves and that God knows us to be. Now, part of this is also acknowledging that even if we're not celebrating Mardi Gras in its highest form, that we have kept up fronts, kept up appearances, worn masks in our lives, covered up our true selves in many ways. And that's what Jesus is referring to in the gospel lesson when he tells us to beware or be aware of how we practice our faith. He says, beware of how you show your piety. That is, the religious things that we do, the outside that we show to the world. When we do all the religious things we think we're supposed to do, and then think that doing them really makes us who we are. But Jesus says he wants us to live out of a heartfelt, honest relationship before God, fully who we are, not just by the religious practices that we show to the world. He says, whatever you do, pay attention to the intention of the things we do in God's name. And that begins with acknowledging that we haven't always acted in ways that God would have us to act. And it doesn't always have anything to do at all with Mardi Gras. And that kind of, you know, crazy and reckless and fun and wild living, it can even relate to the way we practice our faith, the way we give and pray. I remember a time when I was so tired, so weary of trying to do things right and trying to do all the right things. And I was, you know, reading my Bible and doing devotions, and I was giving as much as I could. I was even fasting periodically, praying morning and night, and doing more and more and as much as I thought I could of what God wanted me to do, until I finally felt like I couldn't do anymore. And I remember I said, God, I'm tired. I'm tired of even trying. I just can't do anymore. And I don't think I can do this. I can't give anymore. I can't pray anymore. I can't study anymore. I'm at my limit. And God said, that's a good place to start. And then I said, but you don't understand. In this journey toward leadership and ministry, I said, I'm just not sure, God, that I'm holy enough. And God said, well, yeah. You're not. If you wouldn't need me. I was like, oh, right. So my journey became more about confessing who I really am and repenting without fear, because God loves me and accepts me and loves you and accepts you and loves us and accepts us and forgives us and is compassionate with us, not because we have to make up to God by taking on and doing more of fasting and praying and giving and the things that Jesus talks about. And so the ashes that we receive tonight are a sign that we acknowledge our sinfulness. We grieve for the pain that we've caused others and caused to ourselves. And that we accept responsibility for those parts of ourselves and our lives. So the ashes are, in a sense, an outward and visible sign of our humanness and our inward and obvious need for God's grace and forgiveness. In Psalm 51 that Dave read, verse 6 says, "You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart." This journey of Lent is in part about being wise regarding the truth about ourselves, about going deeper in our faith with the help, the aid of our spiritual practices, the means of grace that Jesus described, like fasting and giving and praying, but not done like some of the religious did them in Jesus's time, and not even like your pastor was trying to do them, because that was as much a front, an appearance, and a mask as all the festivities of Mardi Gras, but done instead with an intention of a heart of love for God that could teach and shape and transform us. This path, theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls, in daring to be who we are with God, that we are able to dare to be a sinner. And he says this, "It's the grace of the gospel, which is so hard for the pious to understand, that it confronts us with the truth and says, you are a sinner, a great, desperate sinner. Now come, as the sinner that you are, to God who loves you. He wants you as you are. He doesn't want anything from you, a sacrifice, a work. He wants you alone. God has come to save you, the sinner. Be glad. This message is liberation through truth. You can't hide anything from God. The mask you wear will do no good before him. He wants to see you as you are. He wants to be gracious to you. You don't have to go on lying to yourself and your brothers and sisters as if you were without sin. You can dare to be a sinner. Thank God for that." Now, lest you hear this differently, let me say, forgiveness of sin is not given so that we are free to sin. This is not, teenagers, this is not a challenge. Dare to be a sinner. I live with teenage boys. I know what a dare means. You know, I double dare you to be a, no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that we are free from the bondage of sin, from the shame of sin, that forgiveness and grace are meant to cure the disease of sin. They give us the freedom to live a life in the full Spirit of God, enjoying all the blessings that we were meant to have when God created us. Jesus' first words in the Gospel of Mark are, "Repent and believe in the gospel." The good news, that is, that Jesus gave us, was given to us because God so loved the whole world. And that Jesus came not to condemn us, but that the whole world would be saved through him. And that he came for us and died for us while we were sinners. So we're all sinners. And we all try to hide it from God and from ourselves and from each other. But as Bonhoeffer says, dare to be a sinner before God and in the safety of this community before each other. And receive these ashes tonight not to remember your humanity only, but to also remember God who created you, each of us. To remember God who sent his son Jesus for us, to save us, to reveal love to us, even as he went to the cross and died for us and lives for us and is coming for us. It's time for us to consider what God desires for us and for the whole world and how we can respond. Do we dare to be who we are? Sinners and created by God? If so, how will we be with God and each other and creation in this season and the time to come? Come and receive the mark, reminding you of your humanity and mortality, and that God's compassion and grace and love are yours. Amen.